Great.
You're listening to
Morris Gillette. This is South Africa Project radio broadcast that we do here on Saturdays. Excuse me, you'll have to forgive me for a moment. I got a frog in my throat. We're a little late getting on the air. I got Monica Stone live with me from South Africa. I see her on the dashboard just to test the waters here. Monica, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Fantastic. All right, folks, we apologize for being minutes late, but, you know, circumstances beyond our control, I assure you. Nevertheless, we do this broadcast every Saturday, or we try to anyway. We don't always get the opportunity to get on the air. As a matter of fact, we may not be here next Saturday because I have an engagement in Georgia. Saturday, June the 6th, if we can get someone to handle the dashboard, Monica may be with you solely, doing a solo show, which she's perfectly capable of doing. She doesn't need me at all. You know, I could just sit back and listen and learn a wellspring of knowledge from Monica Stone. But nevertheless, here we are. We're a few minutes late. We're broadcasting all across the world via the American Nationalist Network and hoping that we are reaching a vast audience with the knowledge and the information that we want to bring to you, that we have to present to you about the welfare and the state and the political quagmire that the white race finds ourselves in and all Western nations, including South Africa. And the reason we have South Africa is the key component of this ministry, for lack of a better way to put it, because that's exactly what it is because South Africa has, because of black rule, because of democratic change in South Africa, where we have South Africa being ruled by communists, whites in South Africa are essentially a endangered species, if you will. And that's the thing that is taking place in all Western nations. It's just that in South Africa, it is more widespread. So, without further ado, I'm going to present to you Monica Stone and let her expound on things and tell us any sort of news she might have in South Africa. A little information about the girls that we sponsor and the orphanages there through the Living Waters Foundation. And, Monica, the microphone is all yours, sister.
Thank you, thank you. Hello, Morris. And greetings, everyone, from the, not even beleaguered, but blackened and getting more black, to put it in a nutshell, South Africa. But the hope is there, this light will break through. We just have to keep the faith and keep on plodding on. But yes, the orphans, we are trying our best and doing our best to help them. Hopefully, Chrissy will be going to college next year with the help of her holiday parents, as we call them. They go to these parents every big holiday. We have four quarters at the school. And in July and in December, it's longer holidays than in the fall and in the spring. So they are sponsoring her, so we will have only five to take care of. It's not to say thank you for that, but then we can give more attention to five than six. We are sponsoring the babies. We are getting five more next week. So there will be now 20 babies to take care of. Angels for Babies, and they're so grateful for Living Waters. If you go to our Facebook page, you'll see Lizelle Kloppers thanking you for the donations for Living Waters so we can help these babies. The mothers are only giving them water and cutting up blankets for diapers. And she just sent me an email yesterday that another mine is going to close in the city of Rustenburg, so 1,500 more people will be out of work. It is really bad there. It's like a ghost town. I'm sure the South in the United States will remember the old mining towns. You go past there. I always saw it in the movies. Only dust going up and the ghost walking on the front porch of the saloon. Well, this is what Rustenburg became. But the trafficking of white children is really bad there. So we've got to take care of our babies. This is our future. This is what's happening in Rustenburg. And then, of course, we went through the circus with Zuma and his city that he built in Kantla, where he made all the excuses not to pay back the 245 million rand to the government that he... well, they don't steal, they just take because they're entitled to do that. The swimming pool, as per example, is there because of... if there's a fire in his city, so they can use the swimming pool water. And the cattle must be in a paddock because otherwise they will trample him and kill him, all sorts of nonsense. But this is not what I want to talk about, the stupidity of Zuma. I'm talking about the stupidity of the white race, just taking all this. I just listened to the Swede. I don't know who he is, what his name is, but he is, as they would say, mad as hell because of what's happening in his country. They're kicking out people and giving it to the asylum seekers or the foreigners because they can make more money. And this is what it's all about. The money god took over, and our own people who look like us selling our people out. I mean, this family was kicked out of their house with a one-year-old baby, and foreigners given the house because he can get 1.5 million kronen for it per month or something like that. And the whites can't pay that. And all over the world, the whites are really not even in the equation. We don't count. And the biggest enemy of the white race is the white. And this is not new. It's going through the ages. When are we going to wake up? When are we going to understand that we are being ruled by people who have no soul, who have no conscience, and they don't care? This lack of empathy, sympathy, and love for own is really sickening. What happened? Why are we like this? I would really like to have some input on this from others to help me understand, because I cannot understand that you can really just walk over your own and feel good about it. We have a saying here in South Africa, the crocodile is eating you, or in the States, while the alligator is eating you, maybe he'll leave me alone. No, he's not going to leave you alone, because if there's nothing else to eat, he's going to attack you, devour you, and there will be nothing left. Are we going to sink into this abyss of nothingness and chaos? It seems like it. I listened to somebody the other day, an Afrikaner, I was quite shocked, telling me that these nearly million white people in squatter camps are just too lazy to work. I mean, if it's 10 or 20, I can understand, but nearly a million people too lazy to work? There are no jobs available for whites in this country. There are no jobs available for any white all over the world. If you have a job today, I think you're really very privileged. Just don't even try and apply for a job, because you're not going to get it. So all I ask is get out of your special white man, and we have to do something. I wish I can say what, but I really don't know. We've been in this fight for so many years, as long as I can remember, and thinking and thinking and thinking deeper and deeper, and all people do is just talk, and blowing their own trumpets of we will take over and we're going to do this. In the meantime, they don't even know who the enemy is. They're attacking the wrong people. They don't understand the real setup, and they don't understand the bigger picture. So what we do is we educate and educate, and this is all we can do at this moment, is to educate and try and see how we can help in this little way, 20 to 25 white little babies and six orphans, and here and there somebody else. This is all we can do, and I thank you for all your support, your prayers, and the money you send. You're a great people, all of you over the rest of the world. Thank you for thinking of us, because sometimes we as white South Africans feel so lost because we've been shunned and being the skunk of the world for so long, since the beginning of time. We've been the skunk of the world, the garbage, the landfill to throw all the stuff that nobody wants to buy or nobody wants to know is being dropped here on the lap of the white South African. Anyway, that's my say for this moment. And then I just want to explain about the common semantics of stealing your property. It works like this. Expropriation is such a bad word. It sounds like a lot like theft. And besides, when you expropriate land or property, you take ownership, but you have to compensate the previous owner. So instead of expropriating, you just take custodianship. Custodianship sounds a lot nicer. It means the communist state will just look after it, control it, tell you how to use it, but they won't take over full ownership and therefore do not have to compensate you. This is Africa entitlement. They just take because they can. They are being supported by the West and those who look like us but are not from us. It effectively means that you immediately lose all your rights to the property, movable or not, and daddy state now has all the rights as a custodian. Don't think this is just about agricultural land. The state is already taking custodianship of all mines and minerals way back in 2002 when they passed the Mineral and Petroleum Resources Development Act, under which all mineral resources have effectively been expropriated without compensation. There is a key clause in MPRDA which says that mineral resources are the common heritage of all the people of South Africa and the state is the custodian thereof for the benefit of all South Africans. Well, who are these all South Africans? Definitely not the white man. It's either the Jew or the black. Now they want to pass the Preservation and Development of Agricultural Land Framework Bill of 2015, which says agricultural land is the common heritage of all the people of South Africa and the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries is the custodian thereof for the benefit of all South Africans. So it's clear who sits behind this legislative theft of your property. Nevertheless, this has mainly passed by the average South African simply because the media paid no attention to it and people do not know how to object to it. The bill was gathered in mid-March this year for public comment by 30th of May, that's today. After it appears in the government gazette, it is normally put up at the local magistrate office of your town and you have to go there, read it and object to it if you feel. If not, it will go through. Well, it doesn't matter how we're going to kick against it. It is going through. It is through already. It doesn't matter. It's like the giving over of the country by F.W. de Klerk, and now he's saying in his fancy speech that if we didn't give it over to the ANC, the balance of power would have been out of whack. We listened to that before, haven't we? It's always the balance of power. It's the balance of the majority who doesn't deserve to be ruling anyway. And now the soccer, it's such a stupid story also, this corruption in the soccer. They always paid the piper to lead the people into whatever, oblivion by playing ball-to-ball games. This is why I'm not really a fan of sport, because that brought my country down. This is why they voted yes in 1983 in the referendum, so we can go and play rugby in England and we can go and play cricket in New Zealand and Pakistan. that is what it's all about, to play ball. And now the ball is really killing the whites in this country. But at least we stop playing ball and we can go to the stadium and paint our faces and yell and scream and drink beer. What can I say?
Is that the same type of sport in South Africa that we have here in America, where predominantly the sportsman, if you will, for lack of a better phrase, is a Negro that is overpaid, over-glorified, over-glamorized, and the people of the nation worshipped, because it's not past tense, it's present tense. They worshipped these Negro athletes, to the point where they're propped up as role models for our children, and we're forever seeing these black athletes here in the United States being arrested for crimes, drugs, dog fighting, carrying weapons, engaging in gangster-style activity, and these are certainly not the types of role models that we want for our children, and I'm of the opinion that there is not a single solitary Negro on the face of the earth that is a suitable role model for a white child. And
no, of course not.
Yes, absolutely. And seeing this also is a part of the problem that goes hand in hand with what you were talking about a moment ago, Monica, about these rulers that aren't fit to rule, how they came to power, like balance of power and so on and so forth, and it puts people in positions of power that shouldn't be there because, first of all, they're not fit to rule, and also, if we put people in power over us, first of all, that are not of our own racial makeup, they are not of our own racial household, whatever they do in the political realm is not to the benefit of the Anglo-Saxon race. It's always to our detriment, because they're going to build up these ideals of multiculturalism and diversity and in so doing, they take from our people. Because in order for multicultural diversity to, I hate to use the word succeed, because multiculturalism and diversity, a multicultural society, has always proven itself to be a failing society. They don't survive for long. They essentially crumble and implode because of the flawed doctrine of equality, tolerance, and diversity. And then let's just face it. Let's go back to the Word of God, because the South Africa Project, the Living Waters Foundation, all of these things are part of the ministry of the Church of Jesus Christ Christian. So we are a Christian-based organization, and let's just don't shade the issue there. That's what we are. That's who we are. And that's the reason why we do what we do, because we are our brother's keeper. And in speaking about the things that you were also talking about, Monica, is that, the reason that we're in such dire straits is because of our own people. We are our own worst enemy. And sometimes we think about how that is, how difficult that is for us to wrap our brains around, how we don't understand it. People like you and I don't understand it because we have experienced the awakening. And so let's turn to the scripture. If you go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, just the first two verses, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And that's what we see is taking place with the majority of our people. You use the analogy of, you know, as long as the alligator is eating you, then he's leaving me alone. Well, that alligator has a voracious appetite. You know, he's always going to be hungry. And he's always going to look for sustenance. And he's going to get it wherever he can, you know. And so our people have gave heed to these seducing spirits that have brought us these doctrines of devils, these doctrines of tolerance and diversity and multiculturalism, and these are doctrines of devils. The Father, our Heavenly Father, the Creator of the universe, did not teach us tolerance and diversity and multiculturalism. That was the exact reason why the Tower of Babel was shaken and the people were scattered, because of the tolerance and the diversity of the nation that was Babylon. Babel means to confuse. Babylon, the word Babylon is derived from the word Babel, from the Tower of Babel. So a Babylonian nation is a confused nation. And that's why we talk about the United States, Western European nations, being a Babylonian-styled nation, because we've allowed these doctrines of devils, these seducing spirits, just like the serpent when he entered into the garden and seduced Eve with his beguiling words. You know, the scripture says that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. So knowing that, I mean, we can see how crafty and cunning the Negro is. I mean, a Negro can make up a lie. You know, he carries a lie on the tip of his tongue. You catch a Negro doing something wrong, you know, if you ever watch some of these programs on television, like Cops, for instance, you know, when they show these police officers catching up with these Negroes that are committing crime, those blacks, they have a lie already. It's on the tip of their tongue. They don't even have to think about it. It just rolls out of their mouth. And so the beast of the field is a cunning, crafty individual, but the serpent, the devil, is more cunning, more crafty than any beast of the field. That's how he was able to seduce Eve. And so these seducing spirits that bring us these doctrines of devils, these lies about tolerance and diversity and acceptance, you know, I mean, when you tolerate everything, you know, we're taught that we have to tolerate homosexuality. Now we're being taught that we have to tolerate pedophiles. You know, first it was we have to tolerate multiculturalism, and we have to tolerate interracial marriages and the offspring that are a product of those interracial marriages. And then it was homosexuality. We had to tolerate homosexuality. We have to tolerate these Jews and these Negroes and these Hispanics and these Asians in our land. We have to tolerate them running for political offices, and we have to tolerate them once they're elected into political offices. And these are things that are diametrically opposed to the Word of God, what our Heavenly Father has in mind for us, because he told us that there is no alien that is suitable to rule over us. all of our kings and our judges and our magistrates and our school teachers and our police officers and so on and so forth, they are all supposed to be a member of our own race. And when you place a racial alien in a position of power over you, you can absolutely not expect a judgment that is equitable and in your best interest, in the best interest of the white race. And it's so easy to see, but because of these seducing spirits, these spirits that are more cunning and more crafty than any beast of the field, the Jew, being the descendant of the serpent, is the greatest liar upon the face of the earth, more cunning than any beast of the field. And we see the product of that. We see that it is the Jew who makes up 3%, a very small percentage of the population, but they have a tremendous amount of control and influence in our banking systems and our governmental bodies. You know, if here in America, if you look at the amount of Jews that are in the Senate and our Congresses and our Supreme Courts, they are represented far above the minute percentage that they hold as far as demographic, that they hold as far as population. They make up a small percentage of our population, but wield a great percentage of power over all aspects of our lives. And here in the United States, I can name AIPAC as one aspect that you can examine and see the influence in our government through the American-Israeli Political Action Committee. It's overwhelming. These people, AIPAC, the American-Israeli Political Action Committee, is the most powerful lobby in Washington, D.C. And why is that? Because this small percentage of people has a great influence over politicians through their control of the monetary system, through their control of international banking, their control of the mass media, and the entertainment industry. They dictate what our people think because they control the information that our people receive. So our people have been seduced with doctrines of devils who speak lies and hypocrisy, and our people have surely had their conscience seared with a hot iron. That's why they sit back and watch the alligator eat their brother without lifting a finger, because they're living in the moment. They're only concerned about their own welfare at the time. As long as the alligator is eating you, he's leaving me alone. And that's a fantastic analogy, Monica. That's a great little picture the problem is. Just very simple, little illustration. And, you know, we are our brother's keeper, and more of our people need to understand that that is the case, you know?
Yeah.
So, but anyway, even though we were a few minutes getting on the a few minutes late getting on the air, I think we still need to take a little break here and have a couple of promotional things here. So we'll be back in about 2 minutes. And we'll finish this program up. We'll be right back.
The Boer Voice, with your host, author, and leader of South Africa's Boer State Party, Mr. Koen Vermaak. For all the latest news and political developments coming out of South Africa, that the mainstream media does not want you to hear, like the ongoing genocide against the Boer folk and other white South Africans. Tune in to The Boer Voice with Koen Vermaak, Thursdays at 12 p.m. Eastern, only on the American Nationalist Network.
Ellen and Vince are behind enemy lines, right here on the All Nationalist Network.
The Atlantic Axis, with your host and political activist David Jones. For all the latest nationalist news and developments coming out of the UK, tune in to The Atlantic Axis every Tuesday at 12 p.m. Eastern, only on the American Nationalist Network.
Okay, we got about 12 minutes left on the air here with the South Africa Project. Morris Gillette and Monica Stone talking to you this Saturday, May the 30th, 2015. Let's talk about the Living Waters Foundation for a moment. Don't forget the Boer folk, the children in South Africa, many of which have become orphans because of the mass murders, the farm genocides, the farm murders that are taking place in South Africa. The Negro is doing what the Negro does, kill, steal, and destroy. So, and because of this, there are children that are left orphaned. And in South Africa, if an orphanage falls below 70% black population, the orphanage loses 50% of its funding from the state. And the lower the white population, the lower the black population in said orphanage gets, the more funding they lose. So we work with white orphanages only. They receive absolutely no funding from the state because white folks take better care of white folks than Negroes do. And that just happens to be the way it is. So we help to supplement these orphanages, these few orphanages that we work with in South Africa, through funds from you, the listener, to the Living Waters Foundation, which is a charitable organization. You can deduct your donation to the Living Waters Foundation from your taxes. We are on file with the Secretary of State's office and the United States Department of Internal Revenue, and we have a federal tax ID number, so you can deduct your contributions on your taxes. They're tax-deductible donations, and we don't keep any of them here. It all goes to South Africa to feed the children, feed and clothe the children, medical care, school books, whatever we need to provide for them, whatever we can provide for them, through the sadly meager donations that we receive, because we are an all-white charity. You know, if we were a diversified charity, a black charity, we would receive millions, no doubt, from donors, from corporate donors and so on, but we don't. We rely on small donations from individuals. But it goes a long way in South Africa. Any little bit helps. The exchange rate in South Africa is like 11 to 1. You get 11 rand for one American dollar. If we were to send $500 to South Africa, that would transfer into, about 5,600 rand or 5,900 rand. And it surely helps with the struggling economy over there. So, go to the website, southafricaproject.info. There's a PayPal donate button there. If you don't like to do business like that over the internet, which I can't blame you, Post Office Box 282, Converse, Louisiana, Living Waters Foundation. And make your check or your money order out to the Living Waters Foundation. We receive some sometimes that are made out to the South Africa Project, and they should be made out to the Living Waters Foundation if you're sending in a donation like that through the mail. Always greatly appreciated and always a blessing to the children and the Boer folk in South Africa. So, nevertheless, Monica, we got about 8 minutes left. What else can we do to awaken our people to the perils of tolerance and diversity? We've been the South Africa Project. Let's see, this is 2015. We founded the South Africa Project in 2011. So we've been doing this for going on 4 years now.
And, yes.
And we do some good. We reach some people. We reach some folks' hearts and minds. We've awakened a few folks that were unaware of the things that take place, not only in South Africa, but around the world. I don't see how, if you live in the Western world, you can miss what takes place here. But mostly people are unaware of what takes place in South Africa because of the media blackout. You don't hear about it in your mainstream news media. You really have to go that extra mile to discover the living hell that South Africa has become for white people there.
Yeah, it is. It is really a living hell. But so many of my people are living in absolute denial that it's not taking place. I just watched an interview the other day. Somebody started this petition for the Europeans to wake up and take the white South Africans back to Europe, where we come from. That, of course, we know will never happen because the powers to be or who are will not allow it. That's not the plan.
They haven't allowed it yet. So what? Why would they now?
Exactly.
And you're talking
exactly.
You're talking about the right to return. Is that what you're talking about?
The right
about?
To return to Europe. Yes.
Yeah.
No. They live in illusion. It's never going to happen. Because this is not what's planned. The plan is the annihilation of the white race. They must just start understanding that and not accepting it and stand up and do something. But listening to this white woman who looked white, but I'm sure is black inside, she said, it's not happening. There is no genocide here, no ethnic cleansing. I don't know how far you can go into denial that it's not taking place. Every day somebody is murdered. Every day somebody is shot. It sounds so terrible to say that thank you if you're just shot and not tortured for hours to death. For somebody to die in this country naturally is very seldom you hear somebody died in his bed of a heart attack and or cancer or something. It's always a murder or a hijacking, and so it goes. It's just interesting. The other day, a man was hijacked. What they do is they stand in the middle of the road, and when he was slacking down, they just bashed into him and hijacked the car, beat him up, and threw him out of the car, and then they drove off, and the police found the car within half an hour. That is really a miracle in itself. But where they found the car, they found a little boy stabbed in his stomach. So it is just weird sometimes how the universe works for this man to be hijacked to find a little baby of 5 years old being stabbed. I don't know if it's white or black, but nevertheless, you don't do that to a child. It is just—it's just horrible to think about. We had quite a commotion across the road this past week. The police found a whole truckload of cigarettes that was hijacked. But of course, the hijackers never took into consideration that they are—it's tracked. They are all sorts of tracking devices in the truck. So they found the cigarettes in the back of this guest house. So full of police and squad cars and riot police with guns and flak jackets and so forth. But anyway, they caught some of them. The one I just heard, the policeman said, "Oh, Fatso, you're back again." So he's well known to the police. But of course, nothing will happen. They will be out in slap on the wrist while Clive Darby Lewis got 25 years life in prison for a murder they said he committed with Chris Hani. He was the leader of the ANC youth, Umkhonto Sizwe. Anyway, he got now parole because he's got fourth stage of lung cancer. And now they said, well, it's not nice to let him go because he's a murderer. But what about these murderers of the whites? Who don't even get caught, who don't ever go to prison. Maybe 1% of them go to prison, and then they're out within a year or two. But this man dying of cancer, 79 years old, they're very upset about that. And this is what you so very clearly stated. There is no justice when you have a multicultural society. It's just not that. But it just reminds me of Honecker. He was the president of the GDR, and he had cancer, and he got also parole because he's so sick. But how many people did he murder as a communist? But if you're a communist or a Jew these days, you can just go home and have your old age spent in the sun with a sundowner every day. But if you're a right winger and a white man, you don't have that chance at all. So multiculturalism equals the death of the white race. What can I say?
Yeah, and
thank you,
and
everybody,
you know,
for listening.
Yeah, and I've seen an article where there was a white woman, and she's an activist, a liberal, of course, in Haiti, that was violently raped by a black man in Haiti over there doing liberal work, charitable work.
Yes,
and she blames the act. She blames the rape on white men.
Yeah, isn't that something?
It's just like these Negroes in Baltimore that are going off about racism. You know, they're talking about racism. These killings of this what's his name, Michael Gray or whatever his name was racist. Mm. They've got three blacks that are charged, three whites and three blacks, and how does it become racist? And I said, well, you know, It's because the system is racist. The system is prejudiced.
Yeah.
Doesn't have anything to do with the Negro being a criminal. But anyway, we're out of time. Monica, God bless you. Talk to you again real soon. Folks, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for remembering the children in South Africa through the Living Waters Foundation. I'm Morris Collette, and Monica Stone has been with me today. Have a great weekend, folks. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, and goodbye. Be safe. Blessings to you all.